Okay, so hello everyone. Nice to see a bigger room than last year. Was more convenient last year because the room was half empty. So basically, shortly about me, I'm pushing some stuff to GitHub. You can find some repos in the presentation with some links to the things that I do. Basically, I want to discuss the topic how we got here and from the point of view of how the whole ecosystem looks, at least from my perspective, how I feel it looks like. Then I would like to show a little bit about story, how I came from Java to Clojure. We are actually moving lots of developers from the Java to move to Clojure, so they're all going through the same story. So I want to tell you what was my motivation for the things that I'm doing. Then I'll talk about a little bit of architecture patterns. This comes back to the library from that I presented last year. So last year we were almost basically entering into production, and now we are only 1 year in production, and we learned lots of stuff, and we figured out lots of stuff that how things can be done that works for us. And I'll talk about, you know, our experience in production with our library that we have built, and then I'll hopefully write some conclusion. As I said, most of the stuff is based on my experience. If you think something I'm telling will not fit your environment, I'll be happy to discuss with you later on. So we are basically building an application which has around 10,000 active users and about 15 to 30, maybe up to 100 million records. So basically this is the scope where this is built. So what I have figured out that lots of people are confusing simple and easy, you know, like we have all this nice framework, Hello World, they look so beautiful, everything is nice in on presentation, but I don't think that people, until they actually start working on something, feel the complexity behind it. So, and I see it everywhere, people are just designing systems to just put some check boxes, and it reminds me, you know, on academia, they're usually doing these papers where they are basically have to pick the topic that is kind of popular but not too strange so they can actually get the funding. And I see we have the same thing in software happening over and over again. There are some architectural patterns in the company, they have to put some check boxes to get the project approved, and then they do stuff and then start to in the end figure out how to actually implement the business logic because they actually never even took it to consideration before. And from my perspective at least, we have so much libraries, so much stuff happening, and it's all like horrifying when I see what people are pulling into the project just to complete some task which looks like super simple to complete. So for me, this whole thing looks very, very horrifying. And another consideration which came very in focus, at least over last year, especially now with DORA coming in place, is the security. And here, what at least my fear is, but also, I mean, Uncle Bob was talking about it, basically that, you know, we will come to the point where something horrible will happen and we will be blamed as the developers, and then government will start regulating what we are actually using for development. And recently there was an article that basically US government is saying engineers to stop using C and C++ for development, which is for me, I mean, it's not like we are using this stuff because it's fun. We obviously have use cases, we are using it, at least I hope so. But yeah, coming back to the first point, it is also questionable. So, well, when I started coding, I was always like this open source standardization enthusiast. Java E was perfect, everything was standardized, I loved it. So I used lots of Spring Boot at that time, and what was, when you designed a nice system, we have these three layers in multi-layer architecture, and the testing was kind of always this weird thing that would come last, and it was very, very hard to actually squeeze it into. You had to mock all this stuff. You know, you have this Spring Boot data thing, you have some functions there, you're mocking implementations, some H2 database, weird things. I never really felt that I have actually tested the functionality. I was only basically testing and writing to test the code, actually. And usually what's noticeable when I would do some refactoring, which didn't change the business logic, I would have to always throw away half of the tests because they were completely useless because they were basically following the code. So, and then I started to think, how can I organize the code to actually be able to test, to my test actually testing this logic, because if I do an internal refactoring, they should not actually change the implementation itself. And I stumbled at that point on the CQRS pattern, and basic event sourcing. So in Java, I wrote a small library that will handle this for me. And based on this already, I could see the pattern where I could actually have a small persistence layer, which was generic. I would have some handlers and small routing code up front. And basically, I could test my business logic completely from outside. So my internal service would completely be isolated. I could test it from outside. And whatever I change inside, it would not affect the business logic from the outside. And in 2019, I got the opportunity to work on a new greenfield project. And I said, OK, let's start something different. So we need some dynamic language because it needs to be a little bit data-driven as well. So we decided to do the closure. And it was amazing. So the difference between the closure and most of that language, it's all about data. And all there are a couple of functions. Whatever you do, you always use MapReduce. You are putting some stuff into map, getting some stuff out into map, and filtering. So it was super easy to make very complex things with these basic acronyms. And this was basically, for me, very, very nice revelation after that. And yeah, I figured out that architecture actually is important because it is actually affecting how we putting stuff in the code. So, you know, people read some business requirements. They see, we have some graph. Let's use graph database. And they put the graph database. It is very easy to put it there, but you know, 2 years later to maintain it is when the pain comes, or some time series database. And we did the same thing. We started with Postgres as a data storage, and we used Force because we had some search. Of course, we had to use OpenSearch, and then figured out this is not so cheap or easy to maintain. And basically, then after a while, we started thinking, okay, do we really need anything more than, for example, Postgres? So Postgres like can store NoSQL data, some JSON, destructured data. It can store also. It has a very powerful query capabilities and so on. So, you know, it is very important to think what is, how much data you will have, and what are actual things that you require, and start small from up, from down to up, and then add new stuff afterwards, not upfront. Then there's always this topic whether to go microservices, monolith, and there we started microservices because everybody's doing it, so it was fun to add stuff. We had around 50.